Oh yes, worthy is the Lamb, the one that is risen today. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who gave himself for us. Worthy is the Lamb through whom we can reach to the throne of grace. Worthy is the one that we serve. Worthy is our God. Worthy, 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 worthy are you, O Lord. Worthy are you, O Lord, before our very eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Even our hearts proclaim it. Even as we say it with our mouth this morning, we declare that you are worthy, O Lord. Worthy before us are you, O Lord, because you have done great things for us. O Lord, we just bless your name. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for the complete work of salvation that you have done for us. Thank you because we can now be called your own. Thank you because we can confidently come before you to lift up your name and to say, Abba, Father, this morning. Thank you for the hope that you have given us. Oh, thank you for the proof, O Lord, that indeed you have chosen your Son, Jesus, to die for the salvation of the world. Because by raising him again, you have shown the mutability of your word and your ability and your power even to resurrect us on the last day. Father, we bless your name. We give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we pray that the reality of what Jesus has done will come alive in our lives. That daily, O Lord, we will remember that indeed Jesus has risen. And that the circumstances of life cannot hold us down because they could not hold Jesus down. We will pull through and we will make it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to us about the ultimate proof of our hope. The ultimate proof of our hope. That's what I want to speak to us about this morning. Because people are going to ask us, what hope do we have for our belief and the things we say? People will ask us of what hope we have for the joy we demonstrate, for the confidence we radiate. And if we have not been doing all this before, from today, we begin to radiate the confidence of the resurrection power of Jesus in Jesus' name. Can we just open our Bibles to the book of John? St. John. The gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. We are going to read from verse 1 to 10. The ultimate proof of our hope. I'll start from verse 1. John chapter 20 from verse 1 to 10. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, follow him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. I remember I told us earlier on this morning that what differentiates us from every other group is this single miracle that Jesus died and he rose. There were people like Elijah that did not taste death. Enoch. There were people that God chose to take without them tasting death. But the Bible says, "For it is given unto man to die only once, after which there's the judgment." Because the Lord knows that if Jesus should tarry, every one of us will have to taste physical death. God was also aware that the other death that can kill the soul. Why we can taste the physical death and still live with God and live in Him and still have an everlasting relationship with Him. It is not so for the death of the soul. And God is passionate that the soul of man return to Him to reign with Him forever. And of course, He sent His Son with a promise. And Jesus said it several times. That is, He spoke about His own death and the fact that He was going to rise. And so He actually tasted physical death as a proof, as an example to you and I, that whether we die physically before He comes or He meets us while we are still alive in this body, that there is a hope of eternity for you and I. That is the only reason why we come to church. That is the only reason why we gather together. That is the only reason that we have a common purpose. Without this hope and without what God has done in the life of Jesus, we probably will not be here. We will have gone our different ways. Don't listen to people who tell you that there is not just one way. You know, in order to be politically correct, and in order not to offend people, when we are confronted with questions like, "Do you mean that all these people will die and go to hell? You mean, how can you say God loves people? And you mean all these other people, you mean only those of you who have given your life to Christ will die and go to heaven?" Without fail. Did you hear that? Without fail. With total assurance. That is what God has said. And that is what is going to happen. Because God has made a way of escape for each and every one of us. It is left for us to make a choice and choose to take the way that God has provided, or choose to follow our own ways. That same God that has promised you and I eternal life sent His own Son as a demonstration, as an example of what He's capable of doing. Because if only those who are translated from the physical body, the life in the physical body, to life eternal without tasting death, are the ones who are going to reign with him, then only very few people will have had the opportunity to reign with him. But because Jesus himself died, he tasted the physical death, that is why you and I have the hope that we have today. The Bible makes us to understand that on the first day of the week, after Jesus had been laid down, laid to rest in death, the disciples went there. You have never seen the mother of an animal die before. Maybe you've seen, say, a dog or something, and you see the kids, they will just go around, you know? They'll just be going around the place, the last place they saw their mom. Am I right? They keep going around. And so, the disciples of Jesus, they were going to the same place, saying to themselves, this is the man we had followed all our lives. He's been taken away from us. It was a moment of distress for them. It was a moment of confusion. So they went. They kept going around the place. Mary Magdalene, look, this is a woman that Jesus cast out 7 demons from. He knew what the Lord did for him, for her. She knew what the Lord did for her. That was why she just knew that she could not do without him. She had to go back to that place and say, indeed, this is where my Lord is laid. But something happened there. The Bible said, because they have forgotten the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. That was why he kept, you remember in one of the passages, he said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? When we forget what God says that he's capable of doing, we'll be searching in the wrong places for him. They search in the wrong place for Jesus because they have forgotten the scripture that said he must rise again from the dead. Somebody will rise again today in Jesus' name. Somebody whose hope has been dashed. Somebody who has thought of giving up on life. I say you will rise again in Jesus' name. Some of you have been prominent in your lives, and it looks like you have entered a state of obscurity. Because Jesus rose again, you will rise to stardom. I say you will rise to stardom in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because they have forgotten the scripture that Jesus must rise again after he's been dead. That was why they were looking for him in that place. And I will tell you, the world will look for you among the poor. They will not find you there in Jesus' name. The world will look for you among the disabled. They will not find you there in Jesus' name. The world will look for you among the hopeless, and they will not find you there in Jesus' name. The scripture has said that he must rise again. And so when they took time to look, they saw that the sepulchre was completely empty, except for the clothes with which they wrapped Jesus. It was empty. And you could see that it was not something done in a disorganized way. They said, the cloth with which they wrapped him was in one place, and the one that they used to wrap his head was folded and put somewhere. Everything was done as has been previously determined. He said, the Bible says, if they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. Because they did not know that the kind of situation that Jesus was put into was going to release him into the destiny of God for his life. And I'm telling you that every situation you will forever encounter will move you to your destiny in the Lord, in Jesus' name. We like to talk about the story of Joseph. When God showed Joseph in a dream what was to become of him, I was sharing with someone not long ago, as I normally share. I said, many of us, we blame Joseph so many times. What you don't understand, please, I want us to understand this particular thing I'm saying very well. I'm not encouraging us to go and talk flippantly. But let me tell you something. The mechanism for achieving God's purpose in your life, he has already put into you. We thought it was a disadvantage that Joseph liked his brothers and he started making mouth. You know, I actually had a dream and I saw, you know, all of you bowing before me. He didn't put it that way. But they knew. He said, I saw everyone bowing before me, and I and my own come was the only one standing amongst them, and all the 11 ones, you know, they were bowing before me. You will say, what kind of mouth has he got? As if he did not learn from the first one. He went to his parents again. He said, you see, I had another dream. The sun and the moon, they too bow before me. The father said, what are you saying? You mean me and your mom? And what happened? From that moment that he spoke it out, the mechanism for the performance of it was set in motion. Except that he did not know. And so, by the time he was taken, put in the pit, taken out of the pit, and sold into slavery, from slavery to prison, it was the mechanism that was meant to bring out the glory of God in his life. Every mechanism that needs to be in place that will bring out the glory of God in your life will start from this moment in Jesus' name. Everyone that has missed it, I say from this moment, it will start to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. If Jesus had not risen, we will have no hope. From the very day he was born, the mechanism for the fulfillment of the plan and the purpose of God came into being. All the running around, all the other things that were taking place before then, they were just preamble. That's why Jesus will be in the temple, he'll be preaching. Nobody took hold of him. We saw that on Friday. Nobody took hold of him. He said, I've been with you for so long. Why did you come to me with staves and with sticks like thief? He said, I've been with you all along, but why this moment? And he said to Pilate, he said, for this reason, for this time, I was born. You will not miss the time for which you are born in Jesus' name. The ultimate proof of our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. So when the disciples found that tomb empty, without the carcass of Jesus, you know what I mean? In 2 or 3 days, or maybe in 3, 4 days, you'll be expecting that when you open that tomb to look into it, the stench. But instead, when they got there, it was empty. It was empty because the world had failed against him. And he has become victorious. You are going to be victorious in Jesus' name. That empty tomb signifies a lot of things. And I'm going to talk to you about a few of those things that it signifies. The fact that they went there and they found that tomb empty signifies the victory of Jesus over death. And by extension, it signifies your own victory over death. This is not something we seem to talk about anymore.
And I want to let us know that this is the essence of our being children of the living God. All said and done, heaven and earth will pass away. All said and done, all achievements will count for nothing. All said and done, all connections will count for nothing. All said and done, wisdom will fail. Power will fail. Innovations will fail. Achievements will fail. But there is something that will not fail. What God has promised that will become of you and I. Because we have to wait for it for a long time, a lot of us seem to forget about it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, he said, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He had reconciled everything unto himself by the blood. Sorry, I think I've read the wrong place. Sorry. He had reconciled everything to himself by the blood of his cross. But the Bible now says in Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world as ye are subject to ordinances. In other words, the moment that Jesus Christ died, he took you and I along into the realm of his death. And the fact that he has risen, he has taken you and I along with him to become living children of the Almighty God. So he gives you and me that hope, that eternal hope. Yesterday I brought a book. I bought a book from the bookshop to give to one of my kids. It's about taking risks. It's about taking risks. One of the things we fear the most is death. And that's why we don't take risks. You know what I mean? Taking risks. Reasonable risks. When you have Jesus in your life and you have this hope, there is no limitation to you. If you know that Jesus is on your side, the one who could conquer death, that's the thing that everyone fears the most. That is something that will come to everyone, where no matter how much money you have, no matter how wealthy you have, but there was somebody who was able to confront death in his den and defeat him. And that's Jesus. And he has given that same victory to you and I. We have no reason not to be able to step out in his name and do what Jesus has called us to do. We have no reason not to be able to step out and be witnesses unto him, as he has encouraged us to do. We take risks with him, knowing fully well that he has accomplished everything. The Bible said, and Jesus, seeing that everything has been accomplished, said, "It is finished." The fact that that tomb was empty means that other things that Jesus said should come to pass will come to pass. Because he has said it, that this is the way it was going to be. Now, let me tell you something. When Jesus was in the temple and was talking to people, and he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. The people accused him. They said, the temple that our forefathers spent so long a time to build, he said, will destroy it and he will build it in one day. That was one of the things that they accused him of. When I went to the gospel and I was reading the gospel, you go and read the four gospels. Look at what they said after Jesus had been crucified and buried. The high priests went. They went to Pilate. They said, send soldiers to the sepulchre. They said, send soldiers to guide the place and make the place secure. Why? They said, so that they will not come and steal him and say that he has risen. Go and read that place very well. They said, because when he was alive, he said he was going to rise again. And as soon as I read the place, I said, so these people understood what he was saying. Even when the disciples didn't understand, because the Bible said the disciples didn't understand that he said he must rise again. But those people actually understood that Jesus said he was going to. Go and read that gospel very well. I was reading it this time. And I said, and they said, please go and guide the place very well so that they will not come and take his body and think that he has risen. They knew that he said he was going to rise. But when they wanted to make it difficult, they said, oh, he said he was going to destroy this temple. Let me tell you something. What Jesus has said he will do, he surely will do in your life in Jesus' name. Why do I know this? Let me tell you something. It is one thing for one to make a promise to you when they are alive. If I tell you, look, I'm going to do this thing for you tomorrow, you know that I'll be there to do it for you. Praise the Lord. If the Lord tarries, that is one thing. But how many people can make promise to you to say, after I'm dead and gone, I'm still going to be doing this for you? And the only reason, the only proof that he's able to do what he has promised to do after he's gone is because he said that he will rise again, and he rose again. In other words, I mean, like the song we normally say, and we say, for death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, while he was in the grave, Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of your life, and he's the Lord of every situation in your life in Jesus' name. Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Nobody, even while I'm alive, if I promise to do something for you, there is no guarantee that I will be able to do it. Circumstance may change. The circumstance of Jesus changed. In death, he still kept his promise. He will keep his promise for you in Jesus' name. He said, these things are spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, these things have I spoken to you, so that in me you will have peace. The fact that he rose again is a proof that what he has said he will do, he will do. And he's asking you to be at peace as long as you remain in him. To have an assurance that what he has said he will do, he will do. You know what it means to be of good cheer? You know what it means to be of good cheer? To be of goodly, happy disposition. And like I've told us before, it's a choice. It's a choice that we have to make to be of good cheer. As long as you remain in him, you make that choice that in Jesus, I choose to be happy. In Jesus, I choose to be joyous. In Jesus, I choose not to allow anything to hold me down. I choose not to allow anything to overcome me. Those who knew the secret of that choice lived victorious. David, King David, can you remember any battle he lost? Can you remember any battle that King David lost as a king? He was victorious in all his battles. Why do you think he was victorious? He was victorious because he knew the secrets of being of good cheer. He knows the secret. Go and read Psalm 73 and other psalms there. Most people actually interpret it to say you could see that David was like depressed. But there was something about him. There was something about David to know, to encourage himself in the Lord. To make sure that his joy is restored unto him. Because he knows that once the joy of the Lord is in his heart, he will continue to live a life of an overcomer. And you will continue to live the life of an overcomer in Jesus' name. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. He said, David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So Jesus said, encourage yourself. Strengthen yourself. By these things I've told you, every promise I've made to you, encourage yourself in them. Strengthen yourself in them. I am telling you, there's nothing as bad as being hopeless in this world. When you have lost hope, you've lost strength. When you have lost hope, you've lost everything. You may physically lose everything now. If you don't lose hope, you will recover. If you look at this particular encounter, God said David was going to recover everything when he asked God. And the reason David was able to recover everything was because he encouraged himself in the Lord. If you are already dejected, you are not even going to try at all. I want you to know, everything that Jesus says he will do. Because the way you know that somebody is able to do something is what they have done. You know, there's a saying in Yoruba land that when a man promises you a dress or he's going to buy you a shirt, this is what they say where I come from. If a man promises to buy you a shirt, a dress or something, they say, what do they ask you to do? Look at what he's wearing. When you look at what he's wearing, if he started himself and can hardly, the chances of him not being able to do what he has promised you is high. But because Jesus rose from the dead, you have hope that all his promises, they are indeed yea and amen concerning you in Jesus' name. And of course, the implication of that empty tomb is that you and I will be raised. Because I cannot overlabor this point. Because that is the essence of our coming together, that you and I will be raised too from the dead. Because that power, that inherent power, that self-sufficient power, that self-regenerating power, that self-propelling power, that self-regulating power, that self-increasing power that was in Jesus is in your life and will raise you up on the last day also. Because we are joined here with Jesus Christ. We are joined here with Jesus Christ. I'm not just saying it just for you to remember, but the Bible actually instructs us as to what we should do with this information. That we should what we should do with this information. A lot of times we don't want to remember this particular information, that same power that Jesus, that God used to raise Jesus up, you know, is what gives us hope. A lot of times people come to a point, they say, oh, all things work together for them that love the Lord, or to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. They say, how can you tell me something good is going to come out of somebody's, you know, somebody losing something so precious to them, you know, something so bad happening to them? And I say, by whose definition? And I tell you, I say, it depends on how far you look. That is why we lose hope when things happen. When we limit ourselves to the physical, we lose hope. But this is what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, look, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I will read from verse 13. He said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And what's the hope we have? The hope that we are going to reign with him. The hope that we are going to rise again. Praise the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And look at verse 18. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. In other words, irrespective of what you are going through right now, there is something greater in stock for you with the Lord. The kind of hope that other people don't have is what you have. Somebody will say, oh yeah, you see, people like that, this is what they say just to pacify themselves, to make themselves comfortable, to make themselves. And I'm telling you, when you have seen the glory of God, when you have seen God in your life, you will know that he meant what he has said he would do. Of course, also, that empty tomb signifies the fact that he continues to advocate for you, because the Bible says he's seated on the right hand side of God, and that you and I dwell and live in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that's why he's still advocating. That is why people who give their life today have that hope in Jesus too. And they say, Father, I've paid the price. Father, this is your promise. He's met all the conditions. He will advocate for you in Jesus' name. I say he will continue to advocate for you in the mighty name of Jesus. That empty tomb signifies salvation. That salvation is in him. The Bible says, there is no other name that is given among men by which men should be saved but the name of Jesus. That's the only name. That's the key that ushers you, that causes you to enter into a place of bliss with the Lord. Every other way we can look at or try is likely to fail. And of course, it implies that you can put your trust, your total trust in the Lord. One thing that Jesus did was to entrust his own soul to God. He didn't doubt that what if he said, I'm going to rise again, give my life in order to get it back. What if he didn't raise me up? Remember, he got to a point where he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You may get to a point where it looks like your prayers are not being answered. If Jesus could entrust his soul to the Lord, because that is the greatest possession any man has, why can't you entrust that situation to the Lord? It has to be absolute trust. When you can't feel God around you, when you try praise and worship, it doesn't motivate you. When you try praying in the night, it doesn't still lift that burden from you. When you choose to pray in the morning and it looks like your body is still not being lifted. When you've read all the passages in the Bible, that in the past when you look at those promises, he just lifts you up. But this time around, it just looks like nothing is happening. Nothing is different for you. Remember that Jesus entrusted his soul to the Lord. That situation cannot be greater than the soul of a man. Entrust it unto the Lord. Somebody said, what do you do when you are in between? Or what do you do when you are in a place of what next? In a place of when you don't know what is going to come next? Entrust that situation to the Lord. Just like Jesus entrusted his soul to God. And you will see him come through in your life in Jesus' name. I say he will come through in your life in Jesus' name. Of course, that empty tomb signified or showed us the true way to greatness. You know, Jesus gave the example of a corn. He said, when a corn remains, it abides by itself. Right? When a corn is alive, it abides, it's just the one corn. He said, but when it falls to the ground, what happens to it? It dies. And when the corn dies, what happens? It grows, it comes up. And when you go to harvest the corn, how many will you get? Instead of one, you just get many hundreds. He said, the way to greatness is to abandon yourself in the hand of the Almighty God. With the kind of hope that we have, he said, abandon yourself in the Almighty God. Some of us have worked hard trying to work it out. So much so that we have even developed high blood pressure. Stop working it out. Give it to the Lord. Let him work it out for you. And he will prove himself in your life in Jesus' name. Because Peter said to him, he said, at thy word, he said, I've toiled day and night. If you believe that you have toiled day and night all your life, if you've tried all your best and it looks like your best is just not good enough, give it to him. I told you, there was a time my neck was almost going to be as long as that of an ostrich. Why? When I come to the church and I stand in front, you don't know who will come, who will not come. You don't know how many people will come. So if you hear the dog. No, I'm telling you. At a point I told my wife, I said, but we are not doing this thing for ourselves. I said, look, if God chooses to be in the midst of three people, let God be God and come into our midst. When we come, and I said, look, I don't, you see, you just try to please people. You try to do this, to do, not to offend. And in the process, you are going to offend somebody. So why don't you just tell it as it is? If somebody is offended, later they will discover that you are being truthful. They will reconcile with you. Praise the Lord. I said, instead of my neck just getting longer and longer, I will just try and stay in the front and face the front and let God work out the rest. Entrust it to him. He shows up just at the point when we think he will not show up. Peter, with the other disciples, after Jesus was crucified, was dead, and they were waiting. They hadn't seen Jesus. You know, this is where leaders, you have a big role. You know what he said? He looked at the other disciples and said, let us go a fishing. Let's go a fishing. And I counted, there were 7 of them that went with him. In total, there were 7 of them. He said, let's go a fishing. Everyone there started saying, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. And they went a fishing. They had forgotten everything that Jesus said, that I've made you fishers of men. Me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. Because Peter made the wrong suggestion. And Jesus had to fish them back again after he had resurrected. You will not miss your way in Jesus' name. When we are in between and we don't know what's going to come next, let's just trust him. Let's keep trusting. Psalm 46 verse 10. He said, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Just be still. Because we have a hope. We have a hope. The fact that there was an empty tomb, that he resurrected, we have that hope. Just be still. And lastly, in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, he was able to declare, he said, all power on earth and in heaven have been given unto me. All power. All power. All power. The reason we can be sure that he had all the power was because there was an empty tomb. In other words, he had power over death and life. I'm sure we have power over many things. But we don't have power over death and life. The one that has power over death and life is the only one who can declare that all power has been given to him. He said, all power. All power has been given to me. And that power will be at work in your life in Jesus' name. And you know one very interesting thing that I will share with you in closing? After he said, all power has been given to me, read one of the gospels, I think it's in Mark. Do you know, he actually said to the disciples, I don't know if you read it that way, if you look at it that way, he told the disciples, he said, now, who's ever sin, I've shared this with you before, he said, who's ever sin you remit shall be remitted unto him. And who's ever sin you don't forgive will not be forgiven them. In other words, if you look at somebody, you walk with Jesus, and you look at somebody and you say, your sins are forgiven you, their sins will be forgiven them. All power. That same power he transferred to you and I. In other words, you can close somebody's heaven. David did it, and he would say, Lord, this is what I want you to do. He said, as for my enemies, don't answer their prayer. Don't forgive their sins. He will close somebody's heaven. He said, all power on earth and in heaven has been given unto me. And that same power Jesus has transferred to you. Your heaven will be opened in Jesus' name. I say, God will open your heaven for you in Jesus' name. But all power has been given to you. Whoever sins you remit shall be forgiven. It's there. And who's ever sinned, you say, no, you will not be remitted. Because, you see, and that's why people will say, oh, say, don't judge. The Bible said, he said, the man with the spirit, judgeth all things. You know situations that are not godly. You can speak into that situation. If you don't make judgment, how will you know that that situation is ungodly? You speak into that situation and you bring about a change. Because all power has been given to you. Let's just rise upon our feet. That same power that he has been given to you, you can use it to do things in your life. You can use it to do things in the life of your children. We have a hope. This is the proof of our hope. Why don't you just speak to the Lord today and say, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the hope I have in you. I thank you for the hope I have for the future. Thank you for the hope that I have for eternity. I thank you for the hope that I have to reign in this world as your priest and as king representing you on earth. Lord, I just thank you. Because all power has been given to you, and there has been a power transfer, the same power you have given to me. Father, I bless you. Lord, I worship you. Thank you for the proof of the hope that I have in you. Thank you for a day like this. Thank you for the resurrection power. I bless you, Lord. I give you praise and I give you glory. This power will begin to work for me right now in Jesus' name. From today, the power begins to work in my life. The power begins to work in my ministry. It begins to work in my home. It begins to work in my work. It begins to work in every area of my life. There's a power transfer, even unto your children. From today, the power will begin to work for you in every facet of your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I don't know if we remember this song. The same power that conquered the graves lives in me. Lives in me. Same love that rescued the earth lives in me. Oh, lives in me. The same power that conquered the graves lives in me. It lives in me. And same love that rescued the earth lives in me. He lives in me. He lives in me. Thank you, Father, because that same power that conquered the graves lives in me. And that abundant love that rescued the earth lives in me. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My Lord and my God, this is the hope we have. And we can confidently share it, that we have hope in Jesus. And that we represent him. Therefore, I pray for every one of your children here today, O Lord, that they will not live less than that which you have accomplished for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Because, O Lord, when you did that work on the cross of Calvary, you had them in mind. You will bring it to their remembrance from today in the mighty name of Jesus. It will not be the people of the world who will remember, and we will forget. We will remember the greatness of the power of God. And it's going to start to work for you from today in the mighty name of Jesus. The psalmist says, once I was young, now I am old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. You will never be forsaken in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that you need to run an accomplished race is given to you from today in Jesus' name. You will do exploit and you'll be great in this world. You'll be great in heaven also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.